having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for you're all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. It's a challenging passage, but let's keep in mind from the very outset, it's God's word to us. Now, I want to begin with a hard question, a very hard question, because I don't want you to just answer it glibly or quickly without thought. I want you to really think about this question, if you will. How different are you today from your non-believing friends because you're a Christian? How different are you today from your non-believing friends because you're a Christian? Is there a difference in your thinking, your outlook? Is there a difference in your conversation? Is there a difference in your manner toward others? Is there a difference in your goals, your aspirations? Is there a difference in the way you respond to the surprises and the uncertainties of life? Is there a difference in your patterns of living? Is there any difference in your life attributable to Christ? Those are very important ways to answer that basic question. How different are you today from your unbelieving friends because you're a Christian? Now, if in fact we can't cite any differences between ourselves and our non-believing friends, at least differences that are attributable to Christ, it may be hard to hear, but it may be sadly true. We are talking the talk, but we're not walking the talk. It's possible the Ephesian believers may have fallen into talking the talk, but not walking the talk. The NIV uses the word live. In verse 17 it says, you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. In many of the other English versions, the word that is translated here in the NIV as live is translated walk. You must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. Peripateo. Earlier in the letter, even in this same chapter, chapter 4 and verse 1, Paul exhorted the Ephesians to walk in a manner worthy of their calling. Now here in verse 17, he gets more emphatic and he insists that they walk not as the Gentiles, he says. There should be a difference. Remember, God's plan is to glorify himself in and through the church. So the difference that Paul's referring to here is critical. It's not elective. It's critical. Gentiles in this passage refers to those who have not yet come to believe in Christ. And he says that their thinking is futile. What they think to be important in the eternal scheme is not. They don't perceive the big picture of God creating and providentially caring for his creation. They're darkened in their understanding, he says. Their sin permeates and is so much a part of them that their lives are controlled by it. They're separated from the life of God, he says. Guilt and indulgence in a lifestyle that this world considers normal has hardened their hearts to what God meant for our lives to look like and be. The Gentiles lived for themselves, their power, their prestige, their pleasure. And Paul says, you Ephesian believers, and this morning he's saying, you Crossroad believers, did not come to know Christ by that pattern of living. Verse 20. He says, you were taught the truth in Jesus. Verse 21. He says, you were taught to put off like an old dirty garment your former way of life, produced by an inner man, a spirit unaware of God's love, short of a relationship with your Creator. Put off your former way of life. Almost as though it were an old dirty garment. I'm preaching to you in shorts. That's unusual for me. But it would have been worse if I came to you this morning dressed the way I was yesterday. In jeans, old sneakers, a ripped and dirty t-shirt. Because I was working around the house. And that seemed appropriate for the responsibilities I had in that context. I put it off. You'll be glad to know I showered. The old self. The old nature. That spirit of man. It's referred to in verse 22. Needs to give way for a new self a new nature. It's referred to in verse 24. And that new self, that new nature, that Spirit of God that forms and shapes our inner man needs to be put on and take on real manifestations. It's not an exhortation from Paul here to change the externals, the superficials. No, this is what God wants to do to our inner man. We've talked about the inner man before, our spirit. He wants to do something wonderful in our spirit. And it requires first that we put off what's already there, because it's not suitable. It's not fit for a walk that is worthy of our calling. He wants to create a true righteousness in us, not a false or phony kind of spirit, but a true righteousness and a holiness. Verse 24. It's an exchange, really, from the rags of our own righteousness to His robes of righteousness. Listen to what Isaiah, the prophet from the Old Testament, had to say. In Isaiah 64 and verse 6, we find these words recorded. All of us have become like one who is unclean. Well, we all know that we are all sinners. Romans tells us that, right? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Isaiah, way back in the Old Testament time, said, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. And God says, I want to exchange that. I want to take that off you. And I want to put on something else. Listen what Isaiah says earlier in what we have recorded as chapter 61 and verse 10. Isaiah 61 and verse 10 says this, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for He has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. See, God wants a critical difference about us when we commit our lives to following Him with Jesus as our Lord as well as our Savior. God is dressing us by His Holy Spirit. And by us, I mean our inner man. And He's dressing us appropriately. You've all heard it said, clothes make the man. Well, I don't know if that's true in the physical sense. But my dear ones, it is true in the spiritual sense. If I don my old jeans and sneakers and my torn t-shirt, it says I'm going to work around the house. When a fireman, a policeman, a soldier dons his uniform, there are certain expectations and responsibilities that come with that garb, with that attire, are there not? One might expect a swim or a baptism when one sees a person in a bathing suit and bare feet, not a walk. God has appropriate attire for our walk, if it's to be worthy of the calling that He's given us. God wants to dress our inner man so that we can walk the talk and glorify Him. So Paul tells us what the old self, the old inner man, before learning about Jesus and committing to following Him, wears. And what the new man, the new inner man, the believer, wears. He says the old man's spirit lied. Do you see it there? The new man's spirit speaks truthfully. The old man's spirit, his inner man, gets angry and sins in anger. The new man, well, he gets angry also. Anger is an emotion. It's not a sin to get angry, but it is a sin. In fact, if we use our anger in a way that harms others or even ourselves, if we use our anger to do wrong, the new man gets angry too, but he does not sin and he doesn't hold on to that anger. The old man's spirit steals. You say, well, that's not a problem for me. But maybe that old man, that old nature is causing us to ruin a good reputation of someone through falsely accusing them or gossiping about them. That's stealing their good reputation. The old man lies. He, in fact, sins in anger, steals. And these are just examples of the differences. It's not an exhaustive description that Paul's giving here. It's interesting. If you look at those examples, though, in every instance where Paul cites the new man's spirit, another person benefits from that new man's spirit, from that believer's spirit that reflects the work of God in him. Others are benefited. Hence, the unity of the fellowship in the church is maintained. Others are encouraged, and love for one another is freely expressed. That's what the church needs to look like. That's what the church is when, in fact, we put off the old nature from our inner man, from our spirit, and we put on suitable attire, garb, for a walk that's worthy of our calling. Paul understands how our sin affects others negatively, just as our righteousness affects others positively. And so he is careful to talk with the Ephesian believers and counsel them not to allow that old nature that may still be a part of their inner man to dictate the way they relate one to another. There must have been anger that was happening between fellows in the church, fellow believers. There must have been lying to one another. There must have been some stealing of a sort. All things that would disrupt the unity that God wants the church to maintain, that God has given us when he said, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. But how does this happen? How is that inner man, how is that new spirit come to put on garb that's appropriate for our walk? Well, the unconverted person, the non-believer, can't really change his ways in a permanent sort of a fashion. He's spiritually dead. Nor can the believer himself. Now, the believer can try to be different and can maybe change some things for a while. But if he's doing it in his own strength, through his own means, by his own wisdom, it's not going to be a permanent change. It's like putting a patch on a new garment, from a new garment, on an old garment. It won't match. Or it's like taking new wine and putting it in an old wineskin. It'll burst the wineskin. Jesus told us that. The Holy Spirit needs, in fact, to fill our inner man and make new creations of us. And that's what we need to be praying for. That's what we need to be willing to accept, so that God's character, God's ways, and God's will is reflected in us. And he does this by renewing the mind. That's what this passage teaches us. He does it by renewing the mind. A mind that's receptive to the truth results in changed living. Think about it for just a minute. Unfaithfulness began in the mind as lust. Cheating began in the mind as fear of failure or pride. Stealing began in the mind as greed. And on and on and on. The mind is where our inner man, our spirit, is renewed. This is why Paul told the Romans, do not be conformed any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12. And verse 2. So we need to be receptive to what God is convicting us of, teaching us, telling us through his word, through the impression of the Holy Spirit, and how it agrees with what his word says. And we need to be willing to agree with God that this is truth and this is right. But sometimes we don't. Just like the Ephesian believers, sometimes we don't. And therefore we grieve the Holy Spirit. When we resist his work in us, when we treat God callously or casually, when we cling to this world and all that it represents, when we give the devil a foothold in our lives, we grieve the Holy Spirit. We don't lose our relationship with God, but we grieve the Holy Spirit. And we remain spiritually infantile, with so much influence from that old nature, that old inner man, that we appear carnal, worldly, like anybody else, as though there was no difference about us. And we do life on the basis of feelings, primarily, not exclusively, but primarily. And feelings are subject to the lure of this world. Not a bad thing, but they're more subject to the lure of this world. So God renews our minds, and he makes of us, as verse 32 says, a kind, compassionate, forgiving people, as Christ himself. He makes us Christ-like. And look at how the next passage begins. Chapter 5 and verse 1. Be imitators of God, clothed to walk worthy of our calling. Two questions to conclude. The first is this: are you yet a believer in Jesus, a follower of his, open to the work of God's Holy Spirit in your life, putting on a new nature, putting on things like compassion, forgiveness, love, convicting us how important it is to labor so that we can be of benefit to others, teaching us how important our words are when we speak to one another, that they might build others up and edify them rather than tearing them down. Are you yet a believer in Jesus, a follower of His, open and receptive to the Holy Spirit? Are you subject still to anger and prone to sin in your anger? My friend, I would beg you to think about what Jesus can do for you, what He wants to do in you. He wants you to make Him the Lord of your life. He invites you to be a part of His family. There can be a different way of life, a different walk than perhaps you've been walking to this point in time. Now, many of us here are believers. Probably most of us here are believers. So that question haunts us. How different am I today from my non-believing friends? Is there any difference that's attributable to Christ? Do I talk the talk, but also walk the talk? Is my inner man dressed to walk worthy of my calling? That's what Paul was challenging the Ephesians to understand and to apply in their lives, in that church. But his challenge today is to us, to you and me. We need, if we're to glorify Him, we need to be different. Let's pray.